today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy. Here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Good morning. This is Karen Benton, and welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so honored to be a regular host on Colette Stephan's show every third Wednesday of the month. I implore you to stay with us for the next hour. Our show this month is taking a deep dive into one of the mainstream February themes of chocolate. Not just as a Valentine's Day gift, but as a tool for transformation when combined with meditation. Yes, you did hear me right. I said chocolate and meditation for transformation. As always, the intent of these shows is to enliven within each listener their own capacity to create and experience transformation. We here see transformation as an inside job and desire to inspire and fan the flame of wisdom that lies within you to actualize this truth in your life. We're here every Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, live on the airways, and podcasts are available for every show. Repeat listening has been found to be a powerful gateway for radical change. Call in live with comments, questions, or shares, 1-800-930-2819. We would love to hear from you. Together, we can transform life's conflicts and challenges into possibilities and potentials with ease and fun. I am so excited to have back as a guest on our show, Lisa Reinhart. Lisa is a meditation consultant who subversely uses chocolate to help people meditate. I love that word together, right? Subversely. Inspiring people to subversely use meditation. You don't hear that very often. I love it. A piece of chocolate can be an opportunity to introduce a moment, a ritual, a break, where you take 2 minutes for yourself that you always mean to take, but don't because you're busy, right? Who out there has that issue, right? I'm so busy. I have so many things to do. Meditation just got a whole lot easier. This is the second time Lisa's been on the show, and we have a great recording on my website where we dove in deep to meditation and Lisa's amazing experience from the Himalayan mountains to bringing it over to the United States to studying with meditation masters from across the world. And she's here today to share her wisdom and then really open us to the possibility of what can happen when you combine something as amazing as chocolate with something meditation, which is steeped in mystery for so many of us. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on this show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Karen. I'm really, really happy to be here.
I can never get over the idea. I have so many images of my head from our last show of what you look like in that cave.
That was so fun. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And I was even sort of contemplating before the show, you know, a lot of what we talked about in the last show is just this idea of, you know, most of us today are seeking, at least, you know, my peers are seeking certifications. Even in alternative medicine, it's so important to get a certification. And I think that we need to create a certification for spending, you know, years in caves with meditation masters to open up the world to this unique possibility. But today, you know, we focused on meditation last time, and you mentioned how your work inspired you to create your company. Would you just share with us, you know, you've got this amazing company called Way of Chocolate that has absolutely delicious chocolates. Tell us about this company and whatever you feel drawn to share that will open the world to this possibility of transformation by something so tasty as chocolate.
Yeah. It's a funny thing, you know, because most people come to chocolate through either, you know, studying to be a chef or culinary science or loving to cook or bake. And that really wasn't my path at all. You know, I wasn't crazy about the cooking aspect, but I was so thrilled when I found that this could be the effortless way, like the path of least resistance to having an actual experience of meditation. But the thing that concerned me was I didn't want to create something like encourage people to do something that would be bad for them physically. And I just dove into the research because in those days it had just started to become a thing that chocolate could be good for you. But there was a really healthy amount of skepticism around that idea because most of us did not hear that growing up, right? It was not encouraged as a health food. And so when those studies first started coming out, there was a suspicion, you know, that this could just be marketing. We were being fooled. And so I love research and I dove into the studies and just like dissected everything and started lining things up because studies tend to study just one particular aspect. And it was nice to be able to connect the dots and finally have like the aha breakthrough with that, that is milk is the dividing line between healthy and non-healthy chocolate. And so just like
cows, are you saying cows is dividing line?
So you know, you can't take some medications with milk because it will block the absorption. In the same way, that is the dividing line. Now, I'm not saying you can't have, you know, a chocolate mousse with milk or, you know, something with milk from time to time, but understand that that is a dessert. You know, it's a treat. It's a once in a while. But I'm talking about how can we eat it guilt-free every day and have it actually be a path to wellness rather than a detriment. So that's what we, you know, that we distilled it down to a couple of main things. And then we used that information to create the company. And it was so great to be able to create out of that space of wanting the best for people rather than trying to retrofit, you know, and go back later and say, oh, what can we correct here, you know, to make this work? So that's what was really the basis for what became the idea of Way of Chocolate.
Interesting. Sorry, we seem to be getting a little bit of, yes, I can hear you, Lisa, a little bit of interference and we're trying to figure out what it is. But this is the science, what exactly are the health benefits of chocolate? You know, how does it, you know, promote health?
It's pretty phenomenal. And, you know, I was, you know, there's the standard ones that you hear most often, like for instance, it's good for your heart. And that, you know, ties right in with our theme for the month, February.
Yes.
It's, you know, Valentine's Day. It's also Heart Health Month. And it's, you know, women wearing red. And what the studies say is that if you eat even the size of, say, one of our pieces a day, Harvard did a study that found that that cut the risk of heart disease by 57%.
Whoa.
And that's a game changer. You know, when you get over 50%, you're like, I need to be doing this because it's better for me to do it than to not do it. And when you consider that heart disease is actually the major killer of women, even more than cancer, then that is an indication that we are not eating enough good dark chocolate.
That's so interesting. You know, in the last show, we spoke about this idea of joy. And, yeah. You know, it's always like, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, I mean, to me, there's nothing more joyful than a piece of chocolate.
Exactly. And it's so funny because when you have that piece of chocolate in your mouth, it tends to kind of awaken the heart energy. You know, it's like there's a natural sense of delight, of gratitude, of contentment. All of those feelings seem to, at least for me, they center in the heart. And that, yeah. You know, strengthens that idea.
I'm just having a little aha moment because I also was doing the heart as a theme for this month in the workshops that I do. And, you know, most of us, we're all talking about how when you point to, you know, when you say, I am, where do you point, right? You point to your chest, to your heart area, as if it holds a bit of the deep information of the essence of us.
Yes.
And so if you're speaking about joy, you know, being an element that is related to the heart, and then you're experiencing joy by dedicating a few moments a day to an experience that amplifies joy. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought, right? 57% reduction. That's a pretty impressive number. That's impressive.
The European Health Journal found that having chocolate cuts the risk of stroke by 48%.
Wow. And now I'm curious, you know, that's just one piece of chocolate. Is that what you said? That's just one piece of chocolate
a day. I think that's regular. That's regular usage.
Right. But either way, regular usage of just a piece of chocolate, you know, that's amazing. So believe it or not, it's already time to go for a break. But when we come back, we're going to explore with Lisa, you know, what she has found as someone who is a profound meditation. And I use the word master because I think Lisa has dedicated her life to it. And to me, anyone who dedicates their life to something is a master and has that ability to share her wisdom with us, and how we can incorporate this type of practice in our life that not only uses these health benefits that are already documented just in chocolate, but up leveling that by integrating it with the powerful practice of meditation, which, boy, maybe Lisa, we should go into the science behind meditation, and then there's no reason not to do it all together. So, you are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Karen Betton, and I'm here every third Wednesday of the month. My guest is Lisa Reinhart. And when we return, we will continue with this conversation about chocolate, meditation, health, joy, vibrancy, and transformation. Call in 1-800-930-2819, and we will make some shift happen.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? We're tired, children are grown, we've moved on from caregiving, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. Well, it's your life. It's up to you now. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Karen Betton, and I'm a regular host for Colette every third Wednesday of the month. My guest today is the amazing Lisa Reinhart, and we've been discussing chocolate meditation as a path for transformation. Before we continue, Lisa, could you please share your contact information with our audience?
Oh, for sure. So you can find me through the Way of Chocolate website, and that's spelled W-E-I. That's how we spell way, of chocolate.com. Everything you need to know, I think, is on that website.
Fabulous. All right. So please feel free to call in anyone that has any questions, comments, or shares that cannot believe, like me, that we can create fun while we're exploring transformation. 1-800-930-2819. So I think the world and the audience at large is pretty much aware of the benefits of meditation, but perhaps you have a little summary of your own that would, you know, ignite in people an even further inspiration to explore meditation.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, you know, because when I was thinking about this, our talk today, and I was focusing on the health benefits of chocolate, and I, you know, was looking at the health benefits of meditation from a physical point of view. And that's a very like Western enterprise, right? They have studies where they've had people do certain amounts of meditation, and then they do very detailed genetic analysis of the epigenetic effects of chocolate, or I'm sorry, the epigenetic effects of meditation, where they look at which genes are flipped on and off by a certain period of meditation. And from that point of view, it's pretty astounding, actually. It reduces inflammation through meditation. And it reduces cortisol through meditation. And it maintains the length of our telomeres, which are those little shoelace-like bits on the end of the DNA that are, in a lot of ways, a reflection of youthfulness or like longevity.
Wow.
And those things are pretty funny from, you know, looking at it from that point of view, because I studied in the Eastern traditions and went to the Himalayas. I lived in Kathmandu, Nepal for a long time. I went to India every winter for a long time for, you know, pretty much 11 years, lived all over Asia and studied the traditional way. And of course, they aren't talking about, you know, epigenetics or genetic expression or inflammation or cortisol, you know. But the reason that people do meditation in those places is, for the, you know, wildly transformational effects that it has on our mental, emotional, spiritual life.
Which is not necessarily measured by a device or science. It's a felt sense. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's really interesting when you see how it ties in with the Western science.
Yeah.
Because in the Tibetan tradition that I studied in, they have, you know, lots of what they call long life practices.
Mm.
And so, wow, there you go. Like, you know, they knew that doing certain kinds of meditation would impact the physical body and health and well-being, in addition to, you know, deepening insight, compassion, you know, and awareness of reality.
Mm. I love just even the way you said the word compassion. What does compassion mean to you?
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because one of the fundamental prayers that people do every day over there is called the Four Immeasurables. And so the Four Immeasurables are, it goes, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from sorrowless bliss. And may all beings abide in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and anger. And so when you just dissect that prayer, the first line is about loving kindness. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. So wishing for others' happiness, they say that's love. And the second one is compassion, wishing for others not to suffer. And I find it really interesting, you know, like you could say they're two different sides of the same coin, but they catch it in different ways, in ways that I find really heart opening, you know, because when we think of our loved ones, like, you know, like, wow, like, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if they're happy? And then also, wouldn't it be wonderful if they're free from suffering, and noticing that there's even a little slight difference in that. That's a whole another topic. The third one is really interesting because I don't know if we talk about this much in the Western culture, but it's sympathetic joy is what it is. It's like being, in the East, they call it rejoicing. Like, if something good happens to someone, then we take delight in it. If someone does something positive, we take delight in it. And it's really a huge magnifier of our own happiness when we take part in other people's happiness. And it's like such a freebie, right? Because it's like, we don't even have to create the happiness, right? We just have to observe and be sympathetic, like sympathetic joy, partake in it.
Right, or even be aware, right? Like sometimes in our world, I think we go so much, we're not even aware of the happiness that's around us sometimes.
Right. And it's so interesting when we begin to tap into that and it's like, oh, wow, there's so much available to us. Mm. You know, it's the same with like looking out at nature and it's like, you know, we can partake in the beauty of a tree. Yeah.
That's beautiful and I think I remember, I actually listened to our last interview to one of the points that you brought up last time that I think is so powerful in my own life is this idea of compassion and, you know, wishing goodness for others and taking part in happiness for others, but how that, if we don't provide that for ourselves, it can really dampen our ability to, well, I'm not sure. I would ask what do you think? Do you think that we often don't think about, you know, exploring compassion for ourselves?
It's so critical though. It's really, it's
really, would you almost say it's like the gateway to then being able to enjoy others and their happiness and their joy?
It makes it so much easier and bigger. Yeah. It really makes it bigger. And that's the funny thing. It's like when we turn it in on ourselves first, then it enlarges our own capacity multifold in a way that is counterintuitive. Like, right. You know, it's like, oh, I should focus on others. Oh, I should, you know, make wishes for others. But until we unlock like all of those unseen barriers that we have in ourselves, like those little compartments where we put that. I was talking to a woman last night who wanted to quit smoking. And she said, what should I do? And she said, I said, well, why do you want to quit smoking? And she said, well, it's not healthy and I'm so stupid. And I said, why don't we talk to that part that wants to smoke and hear her story? And why did she start? You know, maybe she had a lot of stress. Maybe she was trying to fit in as a teenager, you know, like find that part that needed something and let's give her what she needs and really like hold her in compassion rather than scold her and tell her she's stupid. And so opening up that conversation, then we don't have to battle ourselves anymore. Then we can really like, you know, once we can have compassion for the part of ourselves that wants to do something that might be considered destructive, then we can also have compassion for other people who are, you know, very likely doing the same thing in some part.
Right. Like it gets away from that needing to fix other people. We can hold space for their own wisdom to fix them. So I was going to ask, I feel like you started to answer it already, but I was going to ask you, you know, what are your most powerful practices for having compassion for yourself? Because I think the way you describe it, it really brings about awareness of how that is a, you know, I use the word strange struggle for myself, you know, and most of the time when I'm finding myself frustrated as I go along this path, I have found using tools that allow me to be nicer to myself. I find space from everyone else, but I'd be curious, what are your most powerful tools that you use to experience deeper compassion for yourself?
Well, that's a great question, because when you find that part that's hurting or that part that's frustrated, if you can tap into, like, I see myself in like concentric circles, like there's a vast part, right? There's a vast part that I find is easier to find when you're engaged in a regular meditation practice. Then you have a sense of the vastness. And when you can feel really familiar with it, And it takes some time. That's the beauty of doing a regular practice. Even if it's only a couple minutes a day, you begin to build up that kind of mental habit of being able to locate that part of you that is bigger than all the different parts. Mm.
And when you say a few moments a day, could you just quantify, does that really mean just 2 minutes or 3 minutes?
Well, honestly, it's much better to have a 2 minute, like, authentic kind of tap into it than it is to struggle for 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's so powerful. That should be a bumper sticker. That's so good.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about the chocolate. That's why the chocolate is such a beautiful way to either learn meditation or ease into meditation. I taught a class last night and there were some ladies who had never meditated at all. And I was so happy that their first experience with meditation was one of delight, one of joy, one of, you know, like loving. We take a piece of chocolate, you melt it in your mouth, you get this 2 minutes and you're doing exactly what you'd want to be doing if you were learning meditation. It's just a different object of meditation. Instead of placing it on the breath, which somehow tends to be some kind of a struggle. This allows you to just sink into the lusciousness and experience on all levels, you know, like, oh, it's deep. It's like a microcosm for everything, but you get it all in 2 minutes. And, you know, really there is nowhere else you'd rather be than in the present moment when you have chocolate in your mouth. And so giving yourself that experience, then you have this sense of what it's like to rest in peace and ease and joy and delight and find that more spacious place. And that can build up a practice from there. You know, a lot of people do the 2 minutes and then they continue on into a little bit of breathing meditation, finding it easy at that point to kind of glide into the next step.
And when you say the 2 minutes, let's let the audience know about the amazing chocolate that you make and how it's literally designed to take just that amount of time, right? Like the size of the chocolates that you make in your company. So tell us about that.
So when I designed this mold, I took a piece of Play-Doh and I pushed it on the roof of my mouth to see what would fit there perfectly, because I want it to be like exactly the right size piece that we can let it rest there and then not be tempted to chomp, 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 you know. So this one has no square edges. It's all round and fits perfectly like a little lotus flower. On the top of it, as an aside, there is a Tibetan letter A. And A is the symbol of enlightenment, like the seed of enlightenment. So with each piece, you get to plant the seed of enlightenment. Like, we needed another reason to eat chocolate, right? and then it's graduated in shape. So you put it in your mouth and it actually makes that connection, you know, like there's a place behind your teeth where you put your tongue when you're meditating. And it's like making that, connecting that energetic loop in the same way. And it helps.
What is that spot? What does it do? It helps the energy of meditation.
Yeah. It settles the mind. And there's people like the cranial sacral people say that, oh yeah, that spot is really important. And that's where the chocolate touches. And then your tongue kind of holds it there.
Oh, that's cool.
Perfect.
I learn something new every time. That's amazing. So tell us again about the name too, right? Wei?
Oh, Wei. Yeah, Wei comes from Lao Tzu, ancient China. And it was part of an expression, Wei Wu Wei, the action of non-action, or the idea that everything arises out of the stillness. And it also has this underlying sense of like for the benefit of others or the benefit of all, let's say. You know, it's funny because from the Tibetan view, they always say for others, but they don't have this kind of Western glitch that we mostly have, that where we like with the compassion thing, where we think of compassion for others and we leave ourselves out. They would never leave themselves out. Like they're an integral part of it all, you know, so they don't have to add.
Yeah.
But I've heard people change the prayer that I said earlier so that, you know, for instance, the first line would be, may I and all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. Like we have to tuck ourselves in there so that we remember.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a bit of sort of some of the, you know, more modern religion, Christianity, you know, that tends to leave the I out of, you know, whether it does or not, I wouldn't say, but I know I was raised in a religion that you know, whether it was my own interpretation or the teaching, the truth of the teachings, but I didn't really fit in there. It was really about others. And I have found, you know, through your teachings and, you know, growing into an awareness that compassion for myself and care of myself is an integral part. So I find that really profound what you just spoke of how Eastern religions don't even need to. It's more indoctrinated. It's more ingrained in their daily practices.
It's a nice little leap because, you know, we tend, like, the untrained mind tends to be dualistic. And there's that sense of separation that is actually the cause of so much suffering. You know, if you ask every human being, they would say, you know, they know loneliness, right? They know disconnection. They're afraid they don't fit in. They're afraid they're not relevant. They're afraid that, you know, they're separated and so, or they're disconnected from love. When in fact, nothing could be further from the truth, right? Like we ourselves as I are not outside the universe. Like it's not like everybody else belongs and we don't. That's impossible. You know, we are an integral part of the expression of the universe, the expression of the elements. And there are some beautiful meditation practices that tap into the elements that really demonstrate that to us in a powerful way. And that alone, like when I said earlier about how meditation gets you in touch with reality, that's what I mean, is like when we see reality, we find that we are absolutely interconnected with all beings, with all things, with, you know, and that there are ways to deepen our realization of that, that dissolves the sense of loneliness and disconnection that's very common these days. Mm.
What a beautiful idea that, you know, and I was someone who meditation was very difficult for in the beginning, and I had to do, you know, an hour and 15 minutes of pretty aggressive yoga in order to be able to sit in any position for any period of time. So the idea of, you know, a piece of chocolate that is specifically designed to, you know, take two to three minutes to melt and hit a spot in your mouth that helps deepen the experience of meditation, and that exploring the sense of taste, exploring the experiences that you have when you're eating something that you look forward to and you enjoy, is actually, you know, literally rewriting for many people what the idea of meditation is. And I think that's why I love that subversively. It's like coming in the back door. You're like, no, you can do it this way too. So what a brilliant idea, not only for a business, but a business that is designed to inspire radical change and invite so many people to explore their own reality from a different door, right?
Like, for instance, this is such a wonderful example. So imagine you have this piece of chocolate and you're holding it in your hand and you look at it and it's a discrete entity, right? But like, this is chocolate. This is not me. This is something separate. And then you take it and you unwrap it and you put it in your mouth. And then it's one of the miracles that our body temperature is warm enough to melt chocolate all by itself. It's completely effortless. And so having the chocolate in your mouth and it becomes softer and its edges become rounder and the chocolate begins to liquefy. And then it just eases down your throat and it becomes, you know, running through your system. It gets absorbed into your system and begins to merge with your system. And really in a space of two and a half minutes, you've taken something that a moment ago you could look at and say, this is something separate. This is chocolate. This is not me. And within 3 minutes, it is totally indistinguishable from me, right? It becomes absorbed eventually into every cell of the body. And there becomes no line drawn between what is me and what is chocolate. And that experience alone, like, it's so potent. Like there's so much in there. There is the experience of impermanence. Things are changing on a moment by moment basis. There's also that experience of, you know, what is self and what is other, you know, and it doesn't really exist in the way that we assume it does on a daily basis. When you see something, you know, become apparently other, become self, at what moment does it change? Or is that an irrelevant question? Like, is it really a different process altogether?
Yeah. And so, and that is so, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, just understanding that, well, if it's like that for chocolate, what else is true like that?
Yeah, I have so many aha moments in these radio shows with you. It's amazing. Like even just that experience of walking into a room and there may be chaos or disorder and you walk in feeling peaceful, you may not even interact with them and you walk out not feeling peaceful. You know, this idea that believing people are separate, yet without even interacting with people, we can sort of resonate with, right, you know, the experiences they're having and not even be aware of it.
When he walked into that room peaceful and didn't say a word, maybe that also had an effect on the people in there who were being chaotic.
Oh, I love that, Lisa. That's so great. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, because as sensitive people, we tend to, you know, realize when it happens the opposite way, right? We realize when we pick up the energy from the outer situation. But what if we just decided that I'm a beacon? Like I'm radiating, and wherever I go, you know, I'm aware of the energy that I'm giving off, and I'm giving it off in this shining radiance of love and compassion and holding all parts of people. Like I don't need them to be peaceful. I don't need them to be calm in order to be loved. I can just radiate out and, you know, connect in whatever way, and recognizing that that's having at least as much effect as what's coming back at us.
Oh, and for the audience, we're not going to get into it again, but Lisa tells an amazing story. So check out our last podcast where she describes a time where she had, you know, very concrete feedback of how one of her actions had a profound effect on, you know, finding someone who was missing, and years later got to find out. Was it years later? We don't want to go into it.
Yeah, it was years later.
Years later. It's such a beautiful story. So check that out. Lisa is the greatest storyteller on the face of the earth. Which we got to see which one you got for us today. We got to have a story. But well, before we go into, go ahead. Well, I was going to go into the chocolate, but go ahead. Well, it's funny. You're intriguing me. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, it just reminded me actually. I mean, that whole thought about like entering a room and changing the energy. It reminds me of, many years ago, I was in a small town in India called Sarnath, and it was the place where the Buddha gave his teaching. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama came there to do this enormous empowerment. It's called Kala Chakra. And when they talk about it in the West, they usually say, oh, Kala Chakra for world peace, because they just can't even put a label on it. Like, that's the closest you can say. So about 100,000 people turned up, and we were all living in tents, and we went to this multi-day, you know, meditation chanting ceremony. And at the end, the word got passed around that His Holiness the Dalai Lama was going to drive down a certain road at a certain time when he left the town, because we were complete. And I thought, you know, oh, that's nice, you know, that's sweet. But I didn't, you know, I thought, well, you know, I really don't need to go see that. But at that time, on that day, I found myself kind of like a magnet, like sucked to this road with thousands of other people lining the road, waiting for his car to drive by. And so a car was coming and everybody got excited and whoosh, it went by. And everybody's like, oh, it wasn't him. Okay. And then the next one comes and we can see it coming. Whoosh, it goes by. Oh, it's not him. And then we see a car coming. And this car is moving like in slow motion. And I swear, I don't know how this happened. It looked like there was a light shining on the front of the car, like through the front window. And he was sitting in the passenger side of the front window, right? Not in the back, like you would in a limo or something. He was sitting right there. It seemed like a light was shining on him. He was like illuminated and you could see him, and he was moving down the road. And as the car, and you got to imagine, this is an old Indian car. This is an ambassador car. They look like 1950s cars. They're so great. And so it's coming down the road. And it goes by, and as it goes by, it was as if there were a wake flowing from like the back of a motorboat. There was this wild, like, woo of energy that came off that car. And as the car went by, everybody just spontaneously, like their arms went up in the air, and they all like, whoa, as the car went by. And it was totally spontaneous. Like, you know, so there's this thought of like, he was like beaming this wake of energy out over this crowd in love and gratitude and compassion and just appreciation that 100,000 people had shown up with this pure aspiration to, you know, deepen their spiritual practice. And we all just like, we twirled in the road and, you know, it was beyond speaking at that point. And so with that idea, I think that all of us can do that, right? Like sometimes I go out and I ride my bike at night and I ride down the road and I just imagine, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. I imagine for me that there's this wave of energy that's reaching people in their houses and they have like a moment of peace, a moment of ease, a moment of joy, you know, and they don't even know where it comes from. It doesn't matter, but I can do that for the world.
Well, and I can vouch for the audience out there that I get that when I'm around you and talk to you, you know, like, I mean, that, and it was one of the things that we spoke about even in the meditation. It's like, you don't really need to say very many words, just being in your presence. I felt a distinct difference in my whole state of mind, in the way I felt, in my openness, and a distinct awareness of the difference between my operating system up to that point, which was so oriented to doing and going next thing, get the next task, to finding more ease and to just being with what is. And I literally, if I don't think I could describe it, but sitting next to you is that experience. I just sit and I look and I think, that's peace. Like the peace is peace is not where nothing is happening. Peace is trust and openness with whatever is.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful.
And I learned that from you. So, I mean, and that's the beauty of like that experience with the Dalai Lama trickles out to you, which trickles out to everyone who has that, been given that ripple effect of awareness, that they'll be like, wow, I suddenly feel good. And wouldn't it be cool to implant in people that if you happen to be in the state that Lisa lives in, which currently is Florida, that if you get the whoosh of feeling good, that could be Lisa on her bike in that moment, riding around, igniting that for all of us, because then you can do the same thing.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Okay, well, we need to take another break. But when we come back, I want to focus in again on, you know, speaking of this intention and this awareness of what you have instilled in your chocolates that is a part of the experience that each person can tap into when they experience this chocolate with meditation to create that magical combination of amplification of whatever is. I lose words for that. And that's what we're going to come back and ask Lisa about when we come back. So you are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host Tanis McRae is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
For stimulating conversation and keys that will change your life, tune in to Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete every first and third Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Join Pete to get clarity for your calling and practical wisdom for results. For more about Coach Pete, visit petecoaching.com. That's P-E-T-E coaching.com.
Welcome back. I am Karen Betton, and you are listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. My guest today is Lisa Reinhart, and we were talking all things meditation and all things chocolate, and then the incredible up-leveled experience of combining those two together to create an incredibly powerful path for transforming yourself, which what we've talked so much about is how transforming yourself is this effortless way to participate in transformation for the world and humanity at large. Yes, Lisa, do you agree?
Yeah. Talk about a meditation. It's like the match made in heaven, right? I mean, on the physical level, they are perfectly complementary because of the reduction in inflammation, reduction in cortisol, all of those, like, and we talked about the heart health in the beginning and the heart connection to meditation. And so it's really the perfect method. And it, especially because chocolate's a yes, right? Like, we don't have resistance to eating chocolate, and we don't have to make up stories about how we're not good at it or we don't have time, right?
Right. Yeah. So what are the ways you use chocolate as a meditative practice in your day, or what do you recommend to people?
Well, boy, we did a really fun thing a couple weekends ago called the Deep Dive into Chocolate. And we got together on Zoom, and we decided we were going to eat as many pieces as we wanted to. And one of the things that happens when you do that, I mean, you bump into all of your unwritten rules about what I can do, what I can't do, when I can do it. And you kind of illuminate these barriers that you didn't know that you had. That was one thing that was really interesting. But the other thing is, you begin to realize how you have this enormously powerful tool at your fingertips, and that you can use it when you need it, you know, like when things get stressful. Actually, your body would benefit from chocolate on the physical, emotional level. And it's not like a crutch kind of tool. It's the kind of tool that brings you back to yourself and your own inner wisdom in a really direct and effective way. And so if you remember that, then you can remember, oh, I could have a piece of chocolate, because a 2-minute reconnection with yourself, you know, we can fit that in. We can always fit that in. And you could always, when you get to the other side of that, you think, why didn't I do that sooner?
Yeah. And I just, to even pull back what we were speaking about, you know, before, is, you know, the power of your own wisdom and your own experiences and awarenesses of what tools bring about transformation for both the Eastern and Western perspective. But all of that is infused in your chocolate. Yes?
Yes. Yes. I mean, and purposely, we do this on purpose. We, you know, in addition to making it totally guilt-free because of the quality, incredible quality of the ingredients, it's low glycemic organic coconut sugar. Okay. So it's never going to spike blood sugar. It's actually more beneficial for diabetics to eat this than not.
Wow.
It's balancing to blood sugar. It's, you know, what's really crazy about this is that if you eat it regularly, you become, it feels like running with a clean carburetor. Like, you become leaner, and your body is processing energy in a really clean, positive way. And so all that is good. And then on top of that, we also infuse it with Lotus Way flower elixirs. And you are well acquainted with how powerful these are and how amazing they are. They don't change the flavor, but they work through the acupuncture meridians, and they rebalance from the inside and just add another layer of getting in touch with what's happening, you know, with being able to shed these layers of stress, with being able to get rid of the static in our lives and get back to our true nature. And then there's one secret ingredient that I don't even know if I've told you about.
I'm excited.
One of the things that I put in here is it's really like the frequency of utmost compassion, kindness, and enlightenment. One of the things that I got when I lived in Asia, where it was access to these incredible things that are called, they're kind of called like Buddha relics. And I made a frequency, like an essence of the Buddha relics, and I put it in all the chocolate. And Buddha from the sense of awakening, right? It's not in a religious sense. It's not contraindicated if you follow any other spiritual tradition, but it's really tapping into like, what is the greatest, development of compassion, love, freedom, everything that a human being can do is encompassed in that frequency of awakening. And that's in every piece of chocolate.
Yeah. And what I love is I just had the thought of, you know, we're all, and you mentioned this, so aware of the power, you know, that we can pick up other people's negative energies. And what you so beautifully pointed out is we can do the same for positive energies. And the same thing, you walk into a room, you can be feeling down, you're around a bunch of people who are, you know, feeling a different, and you resonate with that. And that same thing is held in this piece of chocolate. And we continue to build through science-based understanding that this is truly how we are designed and how transformation happens, transferring information, right? Transferring knowledge, transferring wisdom. It doesn't have to be of a physical nature, but yet we're using the practice of chocolate, you know, to fulfill our brain's conditioned ideas that it has to happen through the physical. And then we can become aware through this incredible work that you do of how much more is going on in that practice.
And the beautiful part of that is that it's not even adding something to you. It's bringing you back to your own. Like it works through resonance so that like when you hit that tuning fork and the ones beside it, that's the same key will begin to resonate even though you don't touch it. Or you play a sitar, like they have 17 strings on a sitar, an Indian instrument that are not touched and yet they vibrate to the same frequency. In the same way, like this essence of enlightenment that's in the chocolate is really awakening, resonating with your own always present potential for enlightenment. And that's the beautiful thing. It's like they're connecting. It's not adding. It's just they're communicating and they're awakening and they're remembering. You're remembering your true authentic nature.
It's like amplifying what's already there. I love that, you know, because we always think we're missing something and we're not.
No, it's all.
And through these practices, we're amplifying what's already there and bringing it to our awareness.
Right. If anything, we're peeling away the things that we
want,
right?
Yeah.
Getting rid of
that's
the
so beautiful.
And all of the things that don't resonate, aren't truly our nature.
Well, Lisa, I was about to say we might do a little meditation, but I think we ran out of time. We only have about a minute left.
Yeah. I think if somebody wants a chocolate meditation, there are some on our website, weiofchocolate.com.
That's perfect.
And if they get on the list, then we absolutely send out chocolate meditations. And
even better. Yeah. And so what are your most popular flavors?
Lots of people like to start with what we call all the way, which is the assortment, because then you get to try everything that we have going at the moment. And then after that, people love the Himalayan pink salt.
That's my favorite.
Inspired.
The pink package. I mean, no better.
That one is awesome. My personal favorite right now is Way Beautiful, which is a peppermint, really smooth, amazing. Mm. One. There's a Way Gratitude, which is chai spice. There's Way Wisdom, which has chaga mushroom in it. And Way Love is rose cardamom. And then there's like three different kinds, at least, of pure dark, from creamy to rich to super dark. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Everything is actually vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, no GMOs, paleo-friendly.
And you can use the theme of the chocolate to help guide your meditation too when you're sitting with it.
Because
so beautiful.
It gives you an idea about what essences are in there and what it particularly supports.
Beautiful. Well, as always, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to enlighten all of us with your wisdom, tap us into what's possible. I want to thank the audience out there. Thank you to Zach, our producer. This Truth is Funny community continues to inspire me to seek out, you know, what lights all of us up. And it's your participation that creates the amazingness of the community. So Lisa, thank you so much again. I know we will do this again sometime. Any last words?
Oh, thank you, Karen. I love doing these. It's so much fun. And I love sharing about chocolate and meditation.
Fabulous. So Colette will be back next week, Wednesday at 8 a.m. And I will be back on the third Wednesday of the next month. We'll be speaking to an author and poet this amazing, wonderful woman. So check it out on my website, KarenBetton.com, and bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny with Colette Steffen. Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.